reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to, why they happen to be my views. And we will welcome your calls for this hour. What we're going to do, hopefully, we're going to try it for a few weeks, on Wednesday evening for the first hour of Radio Liberty, in lieu of the Freedom 21, which was here for such a long time, and I had the evening off, certainly we could get a guest for the first hour, but I thought we'd have open lines, and I would start with a topic, and if you had something you wanted to bring up, you can call us here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll talk about what you out there in the listening audience would like to talk about. I thought maybe I'd start this evening calling your attention to an interview that appears on Alex Jones' Prison Planet. It's a short interview from I think it's MSNBC or one of the major networks, where they're interviewing a reporter who was talking about how, I believe it was Bayer, the Bayer Corporation that had actually produced the hemophiliac treatment. It was basically a hemophiliac globulin that was given to hemophiliacs throughout the world during the early years of the AIDS epidemic. And of course, the hemophiliac globulin was made from blood plasma, and because the plasma supply was made of a pooled plasma, it was contaminated with the HIV virus. And hemophiliacs here in the United States were beginning to come down with the disease, and we also knew that people who were getting blood transfusions were contracting HIV or contracting AIDS and were dying. And so initially the disease appeared primarily in homosexuals, and then we found it in IV drug users, and then we found it in people who were recipients of blood transfusions. And people were getting plasma, and then, of course, in the hemophiliac. So they knew that the hemophiliac globulin supply was infected. And yet they shipped it to France and to Japan and to Spain, where the doctors there in charge knew that it was infected, and they gave it to the hemophiliacs, and they contracted the disease, and most of them have died. Now, hemophilia is a terrible, terrible disease. And certainly the globulin that was developed really could control the excessive bleeding. And having lived through the era before we had the hemophiliac globulin, and really all you could do was just transfuse the hemophiliacs, sometimes, dozens of transfusions you had to give them. But at that time, the blood supply didn't have AIDS in it. It didn't have all the other new contaminants, the mycoplasms, the Kaposi sarcoma, and certainly the cancer viruses that were instilled into our blood supply as a result of the polio vaccine, the SV40 virus. And we could control the hemophiliacs, but the globulin came along, was really a wonderful advance. However, it wasn't worthwhile contracting a deadly disease. The thing is, why did our government allow the various corporations to ship a contaminated, infected HIV hemophiliac globulin to other countries? Well, of course, it was involved in this battle for many years, and it was very obvious to me that this was all part of population control. You see, there really are people who believe that if we could simply alter the gene pool, get rid of the Jews, get rid of the gypsies, get rid of the hemophiliacs and people who had genetics abnormalities, we would create a better world. That's really one of the major motivations behind the Nazi movement. Now, as Chris, as you know, the Jews are very talented people, and hemophiliacs can be very talented people as well. But there really are people who look at the world differently than you and I do, who have no compassion and no concern about human suffering. Well, give us a call here at Radio Liberty. And this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to try an open line this evening. And if you're out in the listening audience and would like to call us, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And for those of you who don't know too much about my background, as you know, I practiced orthopedic surgery for many years, but I began studying what was going on in the world back in 1962. And already, of course, I spent a great deal of time researching that. I took off a sabbatical in the mid-1970s and went to Africa. But I really went there in part because I understood that the major driving forces which had shaped the world that we live in today originated in South Africa with Anglo-American and De Beers corporations, which were vehicles of the Rhodes Trust. And, of course, Cecil Rhodes had set out to create a secret society that would change the world. And that secret society is manifested today in an organization located at 58 East 68th Street in New York City, an organization known as the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, anyway, after 3 years in Africa, we returned home, and then it was about 1980 when I was asked to become a delegate to the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, and by about 1977, I was the senior delegate from our county attending those meetings, and there were three or four other doctors from my county that went there to the meetings, but by 1977, I was well aware of the fact that we had a major epidemic in America, and we were not trying to stop that epidemic, and that epidemic was known as AIDS. Maybe we should have called it HIV infection, call it what you will. But people were dying. It was very obvious that we could stop the disease if we had tried to do the most elementary things required by public health, and that is identify who was infected and try to stop them from giving the disease to others. That is what they'd done with the syphilis epidemic back in the 1930s. It had worked and worked very efficiently. You identified who had the disease, and so they did routine testing for syphilis, and every patient that came into the doctor's office, every patient that went into the hospital had a routine syphilis test, and soon we had identified the people who had syphilis and began to bring it under control. And this was even before we had penicillin and effective treatments for treatment of syphilis. Well, it would only have been logical when the AIDS epidemic came along that we would have done the same thing, a routine premarital testing, routine prenatal testing, in other words, of pregnant women, every patient going into the hospital, every patient going into the doctor's office, and we could have very, very readily identified who was infected, but that was not the agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this evening we're going to have open lines, and hopefully people will call in and on the subject or perhaps on another subject if they'd like. And so our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. And I was simply discussing the background of the AIDS epidemic, because for at least a decade, between about 1986 and 1996, I led the delegation from my county to the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, and really played a significant part in trying to focus attention on the fact that we needed an effective public health policy. Now, remember, I was an orthopedic surgeon. But I had some very, very smart people in my county, doctors who I considered friends, who some of them with public health training, who had laid out an effective public health policy, and this is what we presented to the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, on over a 10-year period, why eventually, by speaking repeatedly, by writing personal letters at my own expense to all the members of the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, and certainly by writing articles and publishing papers, I was able to win the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association around to my position that we needed an effective public health policy. And what was the routine? What was that? Why, routine testing for HIV, routine premarital testing, routine prenatal testing, trying to identify who had the disease. That would be the logical thing. And, you know, after having a standing ovation from the members of the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, when they finally accepted the basic tenets of our public health policy, I was dismayed to realize that the leaders of organized medicine had no intention of carrying out the dictates of the doctors, either here in California or throughout the country, because most doctors wanted to do what was right, but their leaders had a different agenda. The people at the Centers for Disease Control had a different agenda. the people who were in public health, specifically the U.S. Public Health Service, and many of the public health officers across the country went right along with the U.S. Public Health Service. Now, there were public health officers who knew what needed to be done, but quite frankly, they were afraid to speak out. And on several occasions at various medical meetings, I had public health officers who would come up to me in private and say, "Stan, we know what you're trying to do is right, and we're really solidly behind you, but we can't let anybody know that, because we'd lose our jobs if people knew that we supported what you're suggesting, but you keep up the good work." Well, it was finally about 1966 when it became obvious to me that there was an organized effort to block the implementation of an effective public health policy to stop this terrible epidemic, and then I began to wonder why. And, of course, Dr. Lorraine Day had been talking to me for some time and had pointed out that certain of the writings of people like Bertrand Russell and others who advocated population control, massive population control, and a massive elimination of large segments of our society. In fact, Bertrand Russell had even talked about, you know, how wonderful it would be having, you know, a black plague sweep throughout the world every generation, and then we wouldn't have to worry so much about birth control. And he said that war really isn't very effective in killing off enough people, but if a black plague would sweep through the population every year, every generation, then we could have as much procreation as we wanted to. And you suddenly begin to wonder, how can people feel that way? And I begin then to read about the Malthusian concepts. And there's a wonderful book called The Legacy of Malthus. So I got one of the last copies available. And you find out that there really are people who believe in cleaning up the gene pool, who'd like to eliminate what they look upon as the less desirable types of people. And, of course, hemophilia was one thing. If we could just get rid of the hemophiliacs, then we would clean up the gene pool. We would not have this as a problem. And, of course, they wanted to do it with the people with mental defects. And what most people don't understand is that here in the United States, they sterilized between 30 and 60,000 people during the years leading up to the Second World War. And the ideas that the Nazis adopted and many of the laws that the Nazis adopted originated right here in the United States. So, with that as a background, let's go ahead, and we've got Daniel calling in from Santa Cruz. Daniel, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing just fine. And did you have a question or comment, or what would you like to do?
Well, I have a question. It's kind of a question on several different things, but it's just kind of the same question. You talk about like the AIDS epidemic, and there are people that want to kill a lot of these people off and eliminate part of the population, and then you earlier you were asking or saying that there you want they also want to have a very rich, they want two societies, the very rich and the very poor, and the question, no. I mean, you don't really answer why. I mean, like, that's kind of crazy. I mean, why would they want that?
Well, let me answer that question. Why did the Nazis want to kill off the Jews?
They're just demented. They're crazy people.
You're absolutely right. But it's more than just being demented or crazy. The major force behind the Nazi movement was the occult. And actually, I hate to refer to the History Channel, because most of what they have is really propaganda, but they have an amazing set. It's either 3 or 4 hours of the cult in the Third Reich. And the whole foundation of the Nazi movement was founded in the occult. The swastika is an occult symbol. If you study anything about the Nazi movement, you will find that they brought a number of monks from Tibet there. They were meditating. They were supposed to give Adolf Hitler supernatural power. He was, of course, sent people to get the Spear of Longinus, which was, in Austria and Vienna, and to bring that, of course, to Berlin, because he believed whoever possessed that would have supernatural power. If you study the background of Adolf Hitler and his ability to stand before a crowd of people and rant on for 4 hours, and they stood there in rapt attention, he had the ability to control men's minds. And as you begin to study the occult in the other dimension, you find that there are certain men who do have this supernatural power. But that is because they've tapped into the dark side.
Yeah.
And there really are spiritual forces in the world. There really is another dimension. Most Americans will watch the program The Medium, plays on Monday evening on NBC, and I'm sure it'll be coming on this fall. It's the story of a woman named Alison DeBois, who has three wonderful little children, and she helps the district attorney catch the bad guys because she has these mystical experiences. Well,
right.
The truth of the matter is, there really was an Alison DeBois. And she did help the district attorney catch the bad guys, but she was tapping into this other dimension. And until people understand that there is a spiritual dimension out there, there really is organized evil in the world. You can't understand why all of these things are going on. You can't understand why anybody would want to kill off large numbers of people, why the Nazis did what they did, why the communists did what they did. You can't understand why what happened in Rwanda, or the fact that our government knew what was happening and absolutely refused. In fact, orders were given to the Canadian general who was there not to intervene, and he could have intervened and he could have stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
Until you recognize the fact that there is evil in the world, and I hope that if you don't recognize it, you will. And it was that realization that 44 years ago, or 42 years ago, brought me to begin looking, well, if there's evil in the world, maybe there's a God. Mm-hmm. And that realization there was a God eventually led me to search for God, and I found him, and it transformed my life, and I hope it will transform yours as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has, and I just wonder, what don't these people see what's happening? I mean, as they ruin the world, don't they realize that they're just making a world that's going to be worse off for their kids, maybe? Or
they don't really care. You see, they believe that we should have a ruling elite, that the rest of us are simply using up the natural resources that they want to keep for themselves and for their prodigy, and they don't care about humanity. But they are motivated, they are energized by a totally illogical concepts. They really want to remove most of the people in the world. And if you doubt that, you only need to go to the Georgia Guidestones in Elberton, Georgia, where there and chiseled in stone on those four great guidestones in eight different languages, a plan which comes really from, as far as I'm concerned, from the very pit of hell. This is a center that was established in 1980 by an unknown individual. He called himself R.C. Christian. Many people think that was a pseudonym for Rosicrucian. But be that as it may, the gentleman who called himself R.C. Christian said he represented a secret group who wanted to leave a message for society, and they financed this great structure there. Many people call it the American Stonehenge or the Georgia Guidestones. And there are satanic ceremonies held there regularly. Someday I really should write down what I learned when I went through all the papers at the local library, because they have all the clippings about the UFOs that have been seen hovering over the top of the at least on one occasion, UFO hovering over the top of the guide says, why would a UFO be there? Because UFOs are manifestations of this other world, metaphysical manifestations, and the satanic ceremonies and the naked ceremonies. But if you read the Ten Commandments that come from the very pit of hell, a chiseled in stone, number one is maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Well, that doesn't sound too bad until you realize we have over 6 billion people, and they're talking about killing off over 90% of the world's population. And there are many people. In fact, there was recently a professor in Texas who was speaking to a group of college professors who was advocating killing off 90% of the world's population. He got a standing ovation from the crowd. The same thing happened in 1994, I think it was, when Sam Keen talked to before the Gorbachev conference in San Francisco, and a friend of mine, Vera Chose, was there and got the tapes, and he advocated killing off 90% of the population, and he got a standing ovation, because you see, there are people who look at the world differently than you and I do.
Yeah, Well, it's definitely very interesting, your program, and thank you very much for taking my call, and you have helped me to understand this a bit better, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you so very much for calling, Daniel. Okay, well, that was Daniel calling, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. But if you'd like to get more into an understanding of this population control agenda, let me suggest that you go to my website, www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we have posted there the Population Control Agenda monograph, which I wrote probably close to 10 years ago. And yet it is still as good as anything that's out there, and we simply take you not only to do what the people say, where you can actually document the fact that many people actually advocate killing off large numbers of people in the world, and those of you who have heard me speak on this subject before will remember I often quote from Jacques Cousteau, that great humanitarian who swam with the dolphins and developed the scuba gear, but he was, of course, one of the people from the other dimension. He had a different worldview, and in an interview that he gave that was published in the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991, he talked about the fact that there are too many people in the world and the fact that we were really going to have to eliminate 365,000 people a year. Pardon me, 365,000 people a day. That's 365,000 people a day. And he said it's a terrible thing to say, but it must be said. Now, if you find that difficult to believe, and you know, it's one thing for me to say it. It's another thing for it to be true. Well, I'm not going to the only thing I have really is my reputation for honesty and integrity, and in doing what I do, you have to have that, and if you lose that reputation, nobody listens to you anymore, so I would not make the statement I just did if I couldn't back it up. So if you're out there in the listening audience, the source is the UNESCO Courier, November of 1991. And if you can't find the reference to it, why, you call us at 1-800-544-8927. We'd be glad to send you the pages from the UNESCO Courier that say exactly what I have said. You may be able to get it at the library, I hope you can, but you have to understand that Jacques Cousteau is just one of many people who've come forward and actually talked about the necessity of killing off the vast majority of the people in the world. And people say, well, that's crazy. And I agree. Absolutely, it's crazy. But you see, there are people who have a different worldview. And I often like to say there are people who certainly march to a different drumbeat, who hear the sound of a different trumpet, who dream a different dream because they worship a different God. And when you understand that there are people who have no human compassion, no concern for human suffering, then you can begin to understand some of what's going on today. But it all gets down to their spiritual foundation, because if we have people who fear God, they're never going to go along with this thing, even admit that they themselves would have to sacrifice their lives. They would stand for what's righteous. Unfortunately, there's an organized effort to destroy Christianity in our country, to take any mention of God or prayer or the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And it's not happening by accident. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're sort of experimenting tonight, and we invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're going to see if we can have an interesting program simply with people calling in either on the subject that we brought up or on another subject that you would like to talk about. So if you have a subject you'd like to bring up, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'd started out talking about what had happened to the hemophiliacs. Hemophiliacs in this country were infected with the HIV virus unnecessarily. They knew that the globulin, the anti-clotting globulin being given to hemophiliacs, was contaminated. and they simply used up the supply here. And they sent the contaminated globulin to France. They sent it to Spain. They sent it to Japan. And I wrote about this extensively when I was putting out my pamphlet, my little newsletter called the HIV News or HIV Report. That was seemed like 1,000 years ago. At least in France, they had the integrity to prosecute the people who had done that. The gentleman who was a minister of health knew exactly what he was doing. He was quite willing to sacrifice the lives of the hemophiliacs, and hundreds of them died unnecessarily. And he was prosecuted. He was convicted. Now, whether he ever went to jail for any period of time, as I remember, there were two people who were prosecuted and convicted. I suspect that their sentences were commuted because, you see, this is part of a much larger agenda. And then, of course, the same thing had happened in Japan. And, you know, the man who was in charge of Japan knew exactly what he was doing. But if you believe it is for the greater good, and wouldn't it be wonderful if we just didn't have hemophilia in the world? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the people didn't have to suffer with this terrible disease? So what's the solution? We'll just kill them, we'll prevent them from having children, and we've solved the problem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that every one of those hemophiliacs is a unique individual made in the image and likeness of God. But there are people who have a different worldview, and when you understand that, you can begin to understand the Holocaust. You can understand what happened was not an accident. And maybe you might even want to begin looking at Operation Paperclip and the fact that the American CIA helped most of those Nazis escape to South America, where they lived out their lives in comfort. Well, we've got Jeannie calling from La Silva Beach. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. And I came across a very interesting article, News with Views, by Jeff Metcalf, and it was regarding where the FDA has approved the use of artificial blood, polyheme. Are you familiar with that, Dr.
And of course, that was when they experimented on so many people without their knowledge, and a lot of them died, yes. But why don't you tell our listeners about it?
Well, it's interesting because the FDA has approved these trials, and they're doing it in certain medical centers and certain hospitals.
But without the consent or knowledge of the patients being experimented on.
Yes.
That's what's so unconscionable.
And they're doing it on people that have bad bleeding, like accident, and they can't stop the bleeding. And these are the test subjects. And this is without informing these people that they're getting this experimental blood, which is called polyheme.
Well, what happened? There were terrible complications with this, weren't there?
Well, it doesn't really say, but this is an article by Jeff Metcalf, but they're experimenting in 27 cities right now. And he's got an excellent article you can link onto your state to see if you live near one of these medical centers or hospitals.
You see, the thing is that this is what the Nazis did. I mean, they experimented on people just to see what was going to happen. And one of the things that came out of the Nuremberg trials was the fact that you could not experiment on people. You had to let them know. You know, they had to be aware, they had to volunteer for this sort of experimentation. Unfortunately, many of the philosophies and ideas of the Nazis are alive and well within the hierarchy of organized medicine and the Federal Drug Administration today, because they're elitists who really look upon you and me and so many people as just, well, human assets rather than as human beings.
Yeah, he also talks about this experimental measles vaccine that was given in 1990 to 1,500 six-month-old black and Hispanic babies in Los Angeles.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, and several of them died as soon as they got the experimental vaccine. So I guess, Dr. Stan, I'm not going to take any vaccinations.
Well, I think that I certainly am very, very concerned about the vaccines. And anybody who has any question about what the agenda is, let me suggest a book of fiction. It's called Rainbow Six. It's written by Tom Clancy. But as he says, there's a lot of truth in this, a lot of truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Jeannie is talking about some of the macabre experiments that have been performed here in the United States without the consent or knowledge of the people. I'll never forget, Jeannie, when I was training to be an orthopedic surgeon, and that was from about 1957 to 1960. And one of the things I well remember was going up to the Sonoma State Hospital, and we were going, of course, to see the orthopedic ward there, where they had an orthopedist from the University of California who was in charge. And he'd commented that a few years earlier, when he had gone up to the Sonoma State Hospital, and this was a hospital for mentally defective children, people with feeble-minded, very, very low IQs. And when he said, when he got there, the standard procedure was, if one of these children developed a severe cold or pneumonia, they just opened up a window and put their bed over by it so that they would get worse in time. And of course, he intervened. He said he would not tolerate that. It was murder, and he demanded that procedure be stopped. But we're talking about the mid-1950s. That sort of thing, that mentality, was going on at that time. And, of course, the mid-1950s was really the same time as the Tuskegee study, which was carried out from about 1931 to 1971 and 1972, where the Public Health Service had recruited 400 black men with syphilis, and they knew they had syphilis. And the men thought they were being recruited into this study so that they could be treated. But the truth of the matter, they were recruited not to be treated. They wanted them to die so they could autopsy them and examine their bodies under the microscope. The problem with this whole thing was by 1940, penicillin had come along. There were effective treatments for syphilis, but the treatment was withheld. And, of course, there were some people who thought this was wrong. And we have a wonderful four-tape interview with 2 hours with a gentleman who blew this case wide open. One man destroyed this whole murderous program, which was sponsored by the Centers for Disease Control and the U.S. Public Health Service. But when he complained to the CDC about what was going on, they called in 11 professors from major universities, told them exactly what they were doing, and asked them what they thought, and 10 of those professors from our largest universities thought there was absolutely nothing wrong with what they were doing, as long as it was done in the name of science. One professor said, this is murder, you're killing those people, it's immoral, and everybody scoffed at it. And you wonder what's really happened to the soul of America. Well, that can go on. If you've never heard our four tapes out on Tuskegee study, it is a classic. We've recorded so much history. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jeannie calling in from La Selva Beach. I'm doing all the talking. Was there something else you'd like to say, Jeannie?
Well, this News with Views, July 11th, by Jeff Metcalf, he does talk about the Tuskegee study. And he does talk about in 1950, where there was a joint Army, Navy, and CIA drill, and they sprayed bacteria over San Francisco and also over New York with this bacteria. And so it's a very good article. I would encourage people, you can get on the Internet and you can automatically get the newsletter from News with Views. And they have excellent writers. And they talk about every subject that you could think of. And you can get educated real fast on what's happening.
I agree with you. They do a great job there. And, of course, you can get on there, and if you actually scan down the page, you'll find Jeff Metcalf's article.
Right.
I agree with you totally. Basically, we have a report. We call it the Rockefeller Committee Report. It came out in 1994 from the Veterans Administration Jay Rockefeller, I think it is, Senator Jay Rockefeller, where they tell about all these macabre experiments on our servicemen. They were experimenting on our servicemen many times without their consent and knowledge, whether it be nuclear experiments or vaccine experiments or spraying the people of San Francisco and killing some of them. And there was a man who died of the serration that they sprayed. He died at Stanford University. In fact, a number of people at Stanford came down with serration. Only one of them actually died. But, of course, they cannot let the American people know about the macabre experiments they're carrying out. or about the new diseases they've released on the American people, new diseases like AIDS and chronic fatigue, and, of course, Lyme disease, and, of course, SARS came out of a laboratory. And, of course, right now they are working at the Centers for Disease Control to so modify the H5N1 virus that it will be much more communicable. And we have articles out of both the Washington Times and the UPI about these experiments being done at by the CDC to see how they can make H5N1 more communicable so it will spread as regular influenza does in the population. And you say, why would anybody do that? That doesn't make sense. But if you understand the things we've been talking about tonight, all of it makes sense.
Well, I remember being in San Francisco, it was about 6 months ago, it was a health seminar, and it was very early in the morning, about 7:30, and I thought, well, I'll get up and listen to this guy from the Centers for Disease Control. And he was talking about fluoride and how wonderful it was, and he said fluoride was a nutrient, and the body really needed it. Well, I got up, and I kind of broke his bubble on that one. But they outright lie, and they justify everything. And for our paradigm is, how can people do that? But you're right, they have a whole different view of the world and what's happening.
Well, I think it's so important to understand why they want the fluoride, because it controls fertility. I mean, it controls the mobility of the sperm. It decreases the fertility of both men and women. This is all covered, of course, in our syllabus, the hidden agenda, and, of course, in the talk we have. But the studies are all there, and for any of our listeners out there who do not believe that fluoride is a deadly poison that produces cancer and affects your mind, let me suggest people go to the website of the Union of the Scientists, the Engineers, and the lawyers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C., and they've been trying to get the truth out, but because of the degree of control of the media, they can't get it out. But their website is NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. Go to that website, pull all the information down, put it into a packet, after you've read it, of course, and take it to your doctor and say, why are you poisoning the people? Why are you advocating something when the scientists who've done the studies say this is a poison, it's carcinogenic, it decreases fertility, it decreases intelligence, it attacks the endocrine system, it softens the bone. It's all there on that website, and I hope every one of our listeners will go there, NTEU280.org, and get the information. Anything else, Jeannie?
Yeah, here in Santa Cruz County, the Public Health Service, they want fluoride in the water. And though we have voted against it on a ballot a couple years ago, they are pushing fluoride in a neighboring city, Watsonville, California. And once they get that in Watsonville, then it'll kind of spill over into our county. Once they regionalize the water and connect all the water systems.
Well, Jeannie, what we have to do, this is the one issue. If we're going to push one issue, this issue is so important. Why? Because if we can convince the people that they're poisoning us with fluoride, and they're poisoning their children, and they're decreasing the child's intelligence, because you lose 5 to 10 points from your IQ, these studies are well verified, and, of course, it's all covered, the journal Fluoride, which, incidentally, of course, PubMed and so many of the things won't even quote. Why? Because they don't want the people to know the truth. But if we can once convince them the truth about what's happening with fluoride, maybe they'll begin to realize that most of the media is controlled and there are people out there who really do want to harm their children. Yep. I think it's a great issue.
This is a unifying issue for everyone.
Right, left, right. We're working with people who we might disagree with on many other things. But when they're right on this issue, we'll back them every step of the way. And incidentally, most of the liberals are far more right on what's going on in Iraq than most conservatives are, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, we've got Beth calling from Spokane. Anything else you want to say, Jeannie, before
we
let you go?
That's it. Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Beth calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
Oh, how do you do? It's nice to talk to you.
It's good to have you with us. And we're going to try this every Wednesday evening and just for 1 hour of open lines a week and give you a chance to say what you'd like to say.
Must I call in every Wednesday?
No, you don't have to call in every Wednesday, but you have to listen every Wednesday.
Oh, well, I will do that then.
All right. Well, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I went. We have a Salvation Army here close to our house, and I brought this book there. I debated whether it was worth a dollar or not. It's War Against the Weak by Edwin Black, and I'd wondered if you read that.
No, I really don't know the book. Would you like to tell us something about it?
Well, he talked about eugenics and how the whole thing was started in America, and it was sort of adopted by the Nazis, and how the eugenicists in America were really applauding this whole system in Nazi Germany.
Absolutely. In fact, but they don't want to admit that. But, of course, Margaret Sanger, who formed Planned Parenthood, worked very closely with Ernst Rudin, who actually headed the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Berlin, where, of course, so many of the ideas came from. But so many of the ideas of eugenics that were practiced by the Nazis originated right here in the United States. But the ideas in the United States really originated in England with a man named Thomas Malthus. And he lived from, the late 1700s and to about 1830 or something. But his essay on population, and I forgot the exact name, but very, very well-known essay where he talked about, if we can't control the population in any other way, we're just going to have to start building our cities next to stagnant ponds and discourage cleanliness and certainly discourage anybody who wants to stop epidemics. And that came to be known as Malthusianism. Malthus said that there are too many people in the world. People are multiplying much more rapidly than the food supply, and soon the world's going to run out of food. Now, he's writing his most famous essay was in 1826. And then, of course, a gentleman named Galton came along after that, Dr. Galton, and he actually advocated many of these same policies. And he lived until about 1912, but his ideas then spread to the United States, picked up by Margaret Sanger, but financed by the Rockefeller Foundation, and this is really what's been missed, financed by the Rockefeller Foundation and energized by Theosophy, because Margaret Sanger was a disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, as was Adolf Hitler. And the same spiritual forces energized both of them.
Helena Petrovna
Blavatsky, Madame Blavatsky, who formed the Theosophical Society.
Oh.
And that is the common denominator that most people who talk about these things miss. They miss the spiritual component behind what's happening geopolitically in the world today.
Well, I think he misses that because he thinks Margaret Sanger does a good job.
Well, but he has a right to his opinion, but I think she was a very, very evil woman.
I have a book by her, and it's mostly a sob story about how these poor women, they're forced to have all these children, and how tragic it is.
I know, of course, but that's the line that they always use. So what's the solution? Why, you're going to sterilize the women, or you're going to abort the women? And, of course, that is why she put her clinics predominantly in the black areas of town, because she wanted to limit the number of blacks. She was very much the racist.
Oh, he said she wasn't, but I figure she was.
She was. There's no question. You already studied her.
Curious as to what books would you read for that?
Well, of course, there are a number of one of the best books going into the whole thing is a book called The Legacy of Malthus, and this goes into the whole background of the Malthusian movement. And certainly I can't, if you go up to my website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, you can pull down my treatise on the population control agenda, and there are a number of books to reference there. Hey, we've suddenly got a full board. Is there anything else you want to say, Beth? Because we're going to have to take some of these other callers.
Well, we heard you on John Loeffler last week.
What did you think of that? Maybe I should have been a little bit more quiet than I was.
Oh, well, I thought it was pretty good.
All right, but I'll tell you, there was one fellow there who really didn't like me at all.
Oh, yeah, that was... Yeah, the fur flew, and that was fun to listen to.
All right, well, thanks so very much for calling, Beth. God bless you. And you get those other people up there in Spokane listening, will you?
Okay, I will try.
Bye-bye. God bless. And let's go to... Is this Mike calling from Houston?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
How are you doing?
Good. I've been bothered for a long time. I've had some bad experience in the legal system. You know, you talk about a lot. You've waken me up on secret society things, and it seems to me that the largest and most invidious secret society we've got in our culture is the legal system. The lawyers and the bar association, and they control each other, and they've got their own secret language. And the judges, of course, are gods that sit up there and here in Texas we had a situation a few years ago where all the Democrat judges were in, and they were of course sponsored by the plaintiff's attorneys, and the plaintiff's attorneys ended up getting $1 billion attorney fees judgments.
I know that,
out of
that,
some of these cases, and of course it was just got so ridiculous and so, you know, so obviously corrupt that the people dumbly turned around and elected a bunch of Republican judges, and now the corporations win every case. You know, the drug companies invent some drug that kills or injures a bunch of people, and the judges throw it out.
What we need are men who fear God.
If you don't have judges
that you can be impartial and that fear God and realize that has to be the source of their position. They've got to do what's right, not what's expedient, and not who's paying them off.
Yeah.
We need people who have a conscience. We need, of course, revival in America. We don't get that, we're going to lose this country, because without a moral foundation, you can't have a moral society.
Right. And, you know, I've hung around a lot of lawyers, and I couldn't say one of them that some of them, you know, make moral arguments, but they really don't have any faith. And the judges are, we had a divorce court judge here in town that said that he had to separate the children that in his court, take them away from one parent and give them totally to the other parent because of Solomon's judgment in the Bible, that he couldn't split the... But, you know, this is a Baptist judge sitting on the bench reading the Bible while he's judging, and it turned out that he had a retarded child who he essentially quit paying child support on and got the child turned over to a state agency.
Well, isn't that pretty poor commentary on a Baptist
minister? But it's not uncommon, you know, Dr. Stan.
We got a lot of problems, Mike, and it's
because the
country have turned against God.
Yeah, I think our judges, and of course, I don't know any way you can separate mandatory that you have lawyers for judges. I don't know any way you can separate the judge or the lawyer's private interests, and of course they're kicking back to the judges from the public's interest, because they just overwhelm it. They control the legislature. When the Bar Association brings a bill into the legislature, nobody knows what the argument is. They sneak it in at the wrong time, at the right, you know, precise time for them. And every law that's passed has got a condition that benefits the Bar Association.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had honest men in the legislature and honest men on the bench?
Yeah, I think if we had citizen judges on the bench, you know, and let the lawyers argue their cases, but have some way to have some semblance of a disinterest on the bench.
Well, maybe you're right. I'll tell you what, we have to think a little bit about that, but it may be a good idea. Hey, we got to run because we got a board.
Yeah, but another thing, I never hear anybody talking about this problem.
Well,
you know?
we've talked about it in the past, but I appreciate so much you bringing it up, Mike, and
okay.
We're going to have to go to Jim.
Well, thank
thanks
you,
for calling.
Dr. Stan. Yes, keep up the good work.
Okay, let's go to Jim calling. Hi, Jim. How are you doing? From Ohio, is it?
Yes, Doc Astrobula, I just got a question for you. I got your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and the CD in that.
Right.
And I'm just thrilled with it. I've never heard it explained in such a way. And the problem I'm having is I have a brother who's a 33rd and a 3rd Mason, and another doctor friend of mine that is. And I was wondering what's a good way to approach them to try to get them to look at this.
Well, ask him, where they're going to go when they die. Ask him if they're going to stand before the great right throne of judgment. And, of course, they'll tell you they will, because that's where every Mason thinks he's going to go. Ask him if he's read the Revelation. That's the judgment of the damned. And then, of course, if he's read Morals and Dogma, he believes that there are two gods. If you get my last newsletter, my March and April newsletters, we go into this dualism that they believe in. They believe that there are two gods. There is a superior God, and then there's a God who made the heaven and the earth. How can there be two gods and we worship, the God who made the heaven and the earth? So who are they worshiping? They're worshiping a different God. And hang on here. We'll take your call in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, we have Jim calling from Ohio, and his brother's a 33rd degree Mason, and he's got other friends who are higher than the Masons. You have to understand that the only thing that's really going to change them is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this is a spiritual issue.
Yeah.
But if they do not understand, if they do understand that they worship Lucifer, they can't tell you. And if they don't understand they worship Lucifer, why, of course, they're not. They're going to say you're crazy. But you need to get a copy of Morals and Dogma. You need to read it. You need to get the evaluation of that that's put forward by Ralph Epperson. He offers this for nothing. It's called A Book Review of Morals and Dogma. Want to know how to get hold of Ralph, you can call me off the air. Get that, read Morals and Dogma, with the understanding the whole theme of that is that there are two gods. And then ask, well, if you don't worship the God of the Bible, what God are you worshiping?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, if you haven't seen the video, it's called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Really rather good. It's put out by our good friend Chris Pinto. We do carry that. And we're going to be doing a new video before long where we're going to have all of these quotations about this dual God. And, of course, this was the idea of Zoroastrianism and so many of the pagan religions. But Albert Pike will tell you in Morals and Dogma that in the Garden of Eden, why the demon told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the angel of light came along, told them to eat of it, and of course, then they were free.
Uh-huh.
And that is the basic theme. If you can do away with God's restrictions, you can be free, but of course, true freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do, it's to do what you should do according to God's law.
Right.
And the Mason really thinks he's free, and he's not. He's enslaved to his passions.
Well, I noticed you said that it was a cult within a cult,
right.
And that they never revealed to them the last part, that Lucifer is the light.
Right.
Can I ask them that?
Sure. And, of course, you give them a quotation. You can get that Lectures in Ancient Philosophy by Mandy P. Hall, who was a 33rd degree Mason before he went into the upper degrees of Masonry. They may not even know about them, but they are there. That's, of course, where Aleister Crowley became a Luciferian, was in the upper degrees of Masonry. And in his own writings, he admits he was a 33rd degree Mason for 12 years before he was invited to the upper degrees.
The upper degrees. Well, thank you, and God bless you in Jesus' name.
God bless you too, Jim. And I hope good luck. Let us know. Don't be impatient. Pray for them and try to get them to understand that they have sworn allegiance to the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, and they don't even realize what the light represents.
We've sworn allegiance to the blood of Christ and the power and authority of it. God bless you, Doc.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you're going to have to let me know if you enjoy this sort of a program. We have a regular scheduled program for the next hour, but right now, of course, we've just had open lines for the hour, and hope you enjoyed it. Anyway, of course, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, as long as Jim gave it a plug, let me suggest you get it. And, of course, you can buy them in volume if you'd like, and because we want as many people as possible to read this book to understand what's going on. And, of course, is it, you can get the DVD or a VHS going along with that, or you get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the tape, the video, the or DVD, and the book, the Brotherhood of Darkness special. But we want you to get that message, and then we want you to begin to challenge it, and we want you to understand how all of these things fit together, how the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created, and Cecil Rhodes came out of Masonry, and the people who surrounded him came out of the occult. All the documentation is in Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course that's really the strength. It's a very, very short little book, but of course it will introduce you to so many other books. And you'll begin to realize, of course, that communism has never been the enemy. We created communism. We financed communism. We needed an enemy. Communism is basically satanic. The whole philosophy of Karl Marx was based on Satanism, which is why our leaders, our satanic leaders, could encourage a satanic movement in Russia that killed probably 80 million people. Like, at least that's the figure that Solzhenitsyn has used, and probably 100 million people in communist China. And if you have ever read, of course, the book Marx and Satan, written by Reverend Wormbrand, who was tortured for 14 years. He was a Romanian minister. I think he was a Messianic Jew, as a matter of fact. It doesn't really matter, but he was terribly mistreated all the years that he was in the prison. And he couldn't understand why they just didn't put him in prison. Why did they have to torture him? And when he got out, he began researching the background of Karl Marx and came to realize that this whole thing is satanic. And once you understand it's satanic, then so much of what's going on in the world today, the experimentation on children, the experimentation on adults, the Holocaust, the war that's going on over in Iraq, the senseless war that is being perpetuated because we're not giving adequate supplies to the Iraqi army. We don't want an effective army. If we had an effective army, how could we justify staying there? And so we're not giving them the equipment or the supplies, or even a recent article in the Wall Street Journal pointed out the food we were giving was rotten and was making the Iraqi soldiers ill. And so we supply our own soldiers very well, but we never have enough of them to do the battle. But, oh, we're going to get the Iraqi army so that they can do the job, but we never going to allow them to do the job because we're never going to give them the equipment that they need. So why won't we do that? Because we want to stay. Why do we want to stay? Because we want to perpetuate the killing and the death and the horror. And as incredible as that may seem, when you realize that we're dealing with organized evil, all of this begins to make sense. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get our material. If you have not yet heard my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, and it comes with a syllabus, and we certainly go into the background of how we got into Iraq, but also the story of the Spanish-American War and the Boer War and the First World War and the Second World War and the Korean War. And you need to have all of this information to find out that all of these wars are contrived. Every single one of them has been contrived. And, of course, we never fought them for the reasons that the men we sent overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die were told. And then, of course, Iraq is the next stage in that. The story is told in Iraq, The Untold Story. That's a video. And then, of course, you want to get the syllabus goes with it. If you're concerned about what's happening financially, you'll certainly want to get our financial tsunami, either the DVD or the VHS and the syllabus that goes with that. To understand sustainable development, you need to get a sustainable development syllabus and the VHS that goes with that. And we have so much information there. We just want you to get that information and help us to get the truth out. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us Byron Richards, and he's written a fascinating book called Fight for Your Health. He's a licensed nutritionalist, and Chris, he's very concerned about many of the things we're concerned about as well. And though I haven't got his book yet, I know it's on the way, but I do have a number of things that they have suggested we talk about this evening. So without further ado, Byron, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Stan. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. I appreciate so much your being with us. And now, Chris, you are very, very concerned about so much of what the Federal Drug Administration is doing and how they're hiding safety data, and including deaths and cardiovascular risks and suicide from the American public as a result of many of the drugs that are being authorized. So would you like to pick up on that story and talk a little bit about it?
Well, I think we're finding ourselves in a very difficult situation as a society, because we expect these pharmaceutical companies to perform on Wall Street, and there just aren't enough sick people to sell their medications to. So they have to go out and find new markets, which happens to be our children who don't need these drugs. We have many children on the ADHD drugs and the atypical antipsychotic medications, billions of dollars a year in very questionable prescriptions being given to our children. And we have the baby boomer population being targeted with bone drugs that basically swell the bone, don't really make or preserve bone.
Are you speaking of Fosamax?
Fosamax and Actonel are the two common ones. And, you know, people will go in and get a picture of their bones taken after being on them for a while, and the doctor will go, well, wow, look, your bones are better. But it's the picture is deceiving, because it's actually swollen bone, much like a swollen ankle.
And, of course, really what's happening is so many of these people are getting osteonecrosis. It's destroying the bone of the jaw. And now, even when you stop taking it, the disastrous effects of Fosamax continues. How many of our listeners have seen those wonderful television ads of these women, you know, one of them are leading a horse, and the other standing around saying, isn't a wonderful time to live? Now we have Fosamax. We only have to take it once a week. Without realizing, of course, that it's destroying the bone of their jaw, and I suspect softening the bones, throughout, making them much more brittle throughout the rest of their body.
Well, there's no question about this, and of course, the statin medications that are being widely used for preventive health. I think our society has to understand that drugs are inherently poisons. They are not part of natural health, and they have a place, obviously, in medical care, but the pharmaceutical companies are targeting the use here for preventive purposes, which they're not approved for, and this is a major issue, because we've got upwards of $50 billion a year of drugs being used in this manner, when there's no real data to support that it's any better for anybody than if they would just get some exercise and eat properly and manage their stress and get a good night's sleep and just do all the right things.
And of course, as many people have high cholesterol as have low cholesterol when it comes to heart attacks, and there's very little relationship between cholesterol and heart attacks, but of course they've deceived the doctors who have deceived the people.
Absolutely the case.
Well, I guess this evening is Byron Richards. We're talking about his book, Fight Your Health, so basically, let's fight for your health, I should say. You know, you've talked about, of course, the bone drugs, the Fosamax, and now, of course, we're finding, I think there are about a large number of lawsuits that have already been brought against Merck for that, and then, of course, their Vioxx, which they knew was lethal, and they concealed that from the FDA, and they concealed it from the doctors. And, of course, when they told their detail, people go around to talk to the doctors, not to tell them anything at all about what the study showed, that the initial study showed a 7-fold increase in heart attacks and strokes of the people taking Vioxx over a placebo. So then they tried to compare it with Celebrex, which they had figured that they had, they'd have a lot more of the same problems, and still it was three and a half times as many heart attacks. And so then they were in real trouble. How were they going to continue deceiving the American people as more and more and more people contracted heart attacks and died as a result of those drugs? And they knew what they were doing. It wasn't that they didn't know. Once they were aware of that, they should have immediately stopped, and they didn't.
Well, that's right. And you get a juggernaut going here, a profit-driven industry, and what I constantly come back to in Fight for Your Health is the simple fact that the FDA is always on the side of the drug companies at the expense of human health. And that's not the way it should be. The FDA is supposed to have the charter to protect our citizens, but now we find that the FDA is even seeking to institute laws that preempts the citizens in a state from filing a lawsuit when they have been injured or harmed.
Of course, the tragedy is that many of these people in the FDA are making money in one way or another from the drug companies, and when they leave the FDA, they go to work for the drug companies. These are not impartial people at all. They have an agenda, and the FDA is hazardous to the health of the American people. Would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. In fact, the Bush administration discovered that it could bring outsiders who were critical of the FDA into the FDA and create tremendous change in terms of weakening the agency's actual real functions of protecting the consumer. So, for example, the number two position in the FDA is now held by a medical doctor named Scott Gottlieb, who is a young man who's never really was a physician in terms of having a clinical practice. He never experienced the humility and the experiences that a doctor will go through helping people for many years and realizing the shortcomings and the benefits of how all this works.
Hold that thought for just a moment, please, Byron.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Byron Richards, and we're talking about the Federal Drug Administration, which most people think is there to protect the American people. Well, I think that there are many of us who've analyzed this, and I think Byron's absolutely right. The purpose of the FDA is not to protect the public. It's to protect the profits of the drug companies. And when you have irresponsible people in government, who is going to protect the public? In fact, what they want to do is take away the right of the people to actually be able to sue the drug companies for wanton neglect and for purposely harming people. And they're saying we need to pass legislation that if the FDA has said that the drug is all right, then it's no longer the responsibility of the drug company. How can you possibly pass legislation like that? And yet they tried to pass, whether the Homeland Security legislation that was swept in through immediately after 9/11. They tried to pass there a provision that Eli Lilly could never be sued for all the destruction of children's minds from the thimerosal that they were selling that was being used in vaccines across America, childhood vaccines, and is still used today in both the influenza vaccine that is given to the elderly that increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease, and the youth that perpetuates the epidemic of autism, and now has been mandated to be given to every pregnant woman, knowing full well that it will harm the child within her. Unconscionable, and yet that's what's going on in America today.
Well, and not just the thimerosal, which, of course, as you're saying, is a horrendous issue which the government has known about, but we have antipsychotic medications now being given to children for mood disorders. These medications have only been approved for adult schizophrenics, and they carry warnings on the label that nobody under the age of 18 should even take them.
And yet they're being prescribed by doctors.
$4 billion to $10 billion a year of these are now being given to children. They're being paid for by Medicare, Medicaid, and insurance companies. In other words, the drug companies are very adept at passing these costs along to the taxpayers. And the real thing that bothers me about this is a lot of the assessments that cause physicians to use this come from drug company-sponsored questionnaires, the Teen Screen Program. It comes from this Texas algorithm that was all designed by the drug companies to promote these off-label uses of their drugs. Well, of course, that's illegal. Drug companies can't do that. Yet these are the tools that are being used, and the recipients are our children, and their minds are going to be affected permanently. We know that the atypical antipsychotics lead to diabetes and weight gain. There have been numerous lawsuits regarding this already, and it's just one of these things. Where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line, especially when it comes to conducting experiments on our children?
And, you know, one of the things that really disturbed me so much about Ritalin and the similar drugs is they actually stunt the growth of the child. And, of course, these children have smaller brains than the others do, and these products stunt their growth.
Well, they're narcotics.
And what is the outcry?
I mean, there's narcotics, and, I mean, they are narcotics. They require narcotic prescriptions. I mean, you know, it's a huge problem. And the whole idea here, you have this this very odd diagnosis called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. What is it? I mean, you know, normally a disease is something you can define. This is an opinion. If somebody tells you that you can't focus or that you have a child that can't focus, they can't identify, you know, a true neurologic problem in most of these individuals, yet they require a narcotic at the age of 5 and 6 and 7 and 10. You know, and then, of course, we have the FDA with thousands of reports of delusion, psychosis, you know, little children seeing spiders crawling all around and going paranoid on these drugs, and the FDA then they fail to warn the parents and even the physicians of the severity of this issue. In fact, one of the medications, Strattera, that one actually has a double-blind, placebo-controlled study showing that it increases the risk of suicidal thinking, and the pharmaceutical company turned this information over to the FDA specifically so that they couldn't be sued, not to inform the public. So the FDA keeps it secret from the public, their little dirty secret, and then you have this drug out there where the doctors and the physicians and the parents and the children don't even know that it has this side effect that's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt.
And I think this is really criminal negligence, but then who are we going to report it to? The government?
I mean, that's the whole thing. The FDA has this attitude that they are above the law. They're above the rule of law.
And, of course, unfortunately, this is the way that it is in government. You know, you can't fire these people. I mean, after 9/11, was anybody fired in government for incompetence in the CIA and the FBI? No. Is anybody fired in the FDA for incompetence? No. But if you try to bring out the truth, Sydney, this one doctor who tried to get the truth out about the danger of Vioxx, David Graham, was it?
Dr. David Graham.
Right, of course, they went after him. They made his life miserable. Why? Because he told the truth. And it doesn't pay to tell the truth when you work for government. Well, Byron, one of the things you talk about is how our government is conspiring, or the FDA is conspiring with other countries to actually limit our access to health supplements. Well, what's this all about?
Well, this is a real huge issue. In fact, we are facing just this very day a lot of information with the Plan North American Union, and the FDA has been all over this. They have the what they call the Trilateral Cooperation Charter. It's posted on their website. Anybody can go and see there. There you'll see the flag of Canada, the flag of Mexico, and the flag of the United States posted as if this is one country. And parallel to this, we have the Bush administration agreeing with the leaders of Canada and Mexico to create this this new world order where the borders of our country will be extended, and, you know, we are going to become Canada, Mexico, and the United States. That's what the Bush administration, and working with the FDA, are seeking to accomplish behind the backs of Americans. It's really unthinkable.
And, of course, what is Codex? Would you like to talk a little bit about the Codex concept?
Well, absolutely. The Codex is the international standards for dietary supplements and food. Codex is involved with a lot of issues. But they are a World Trade Organization, or at least they get their power from the World Trade Organization, because if countries don't follow their instructions, then trade restrictions can be imposed upon them, And basically what this amounts to is being able to supersede the laws and rules. So in the United States right now, we are protected by the DSHEA legislation, which enables consumers to have access to a wide variety of nutritional supplements. But the FDA is actively working with the German government and Codex to change all of these laws on an international basis and then come in the back door and impose these laws on Americans, which will have the net effect of stripping away our right to therapeutic supplements that truly help our health. There's a major effort here by the FDA to get rid of supplements that can actually help people with their cholesterol or help people with their blood pressure or help people with depression. They don't want things that work available as options or competition to the pharmaceutical companies. This is just a huge issue.
And it's very distressing to think that this might be going on, but I fear that this is the reality of what's going on. They are doing everything they can to get as many people sick or convinced they're sick as possible. And we see this, of course, with the whole cholesterol scam, where we're told you've got to get your cholesterol down. Well, now, the cholesterol drugs do get the cholesterol down, but do they decrease the incidence of death from heart disease? How successful are the cholesterol drugs in increasing longevity for the people who take them?
Well, it depends on the situation. In other words, if you've had somebody who's already had a heart attack and you're trying to prevent a second heart attack, the statistics show that the statin drugs can contribute to a 30% risk reduction for a second event. And, of course, that's something for sure. But there's still 70% of people who aren't getting benefit from that treatment. But nevertheless, that's a medical treatment for people who have obviously already had a problem. Where we run into the real issue is when that information is taken into the prevention arena, and here we find that over a 10-year period, the number of people who are benefited by this is no different than the number of people who are killed by it, so there's no net benefit to society. In other words, after 10 years, 1% of these preventive patients don't have heart attacks because of the statin use, but the same another 1% die from suicide and accidents and immune system and infection problems that are the side effects of these medications. So it's a wash in terms of are they of any benefit to our population. And on the other hand, they're extremely, extremely expensive. We have some $20 billion a year being spent on this one class of medication, the great majority of it for preventive purposes, where it does not show that it actually does anything of true benefit or value.
Well, I think this is something really. Now, that 30% decrease in the incidence of heart attacks, if you've had a previous heart attack and get on the cholesterol drugs, are those absolute figures or relative figures, you know?
Well, they are pretty... You know, it's a funny thing about statistics, but we can't trust anybody anymore when it comes to data that supports the use of a drug. I mean, as you mentioned before with the Vioxx thing, we find that the New England Journal of Medicine knew that the data was slanted, published it anyways, and then turns around and sells $600,000 worth of reprints of the article. And so, you know, any article right now in the scientific arena that supports the use of a quote-unquote blockbuster drug, we have issues of scientists for hire, we have issues of journals for hire, we have a very slanted and skewed scientific arena where the public now has lost confidence that any statistics that promote use of something are now being called into question.
Well, I think it's very interesting that only within the last few weeks did the New England Journal of Medicine apologize for the articles they published 4 or 5 years ago, and, of course, withdrew their support for what they'd said, and yet, of course, they'd known for years that their previous articles were wrong.
Yes, but they didn't refund the money they received.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Byron Richards. His book is Fight for Your Health, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question on this subject, but I think it's already so vitally important. Now, what's this? The FDA wants a radio transmitter chip. in everyone's arm and your DNA and their database? What's that all about?
Well, the government is bound and determined to collect the whole next generation of drugs, which will rely on something called nano drugs or very small particle drugs. These are quite different than the drugs that are on the market today, which are basically poisons. These new class of medications will enter inside of cells readily and control genetic switches. And so the whole thing here is that in order for the FDA or anybody really to determine what's going on, they're going to have blood. And they're going to have to watch changes in the proteins inside of cells, which they call biomarkers. And this whole new evolving drug is leading, or drug market is leading them to want to collect, at least they're using the excuse, that they're going to need everybody's DNA. And they're starting projects right now where they're collecting citizens' DNA. They're getting insurance companies interested in this. They're starting with children, say, in Philadelphia. They've got these huge funded projects from the National Institutes of Health. But their agenda is to actually get everybody's DNA. They also want these receiver chips in everybody's arms. Of course, they're starting out with patients who have, you know, memory problems and don't know where they are. That's the excuse. The FDA has already approved these kind of chips, but they are identification chips that will have everybody's health data in them, and they'll be in somebody's arm. So the government is in a massive undertaking to collect very personal data, genetic data that will be used, obviously, to stereotype people and cast their future health, and all kinds of things will be done with this. But this is the world that we're living in, and we're headed rapidly in this direction.
And I think that anybody, of course, who's ever studied the Bible would recognize that there are at least biblical implications of this. They want everybody to have a chip. They want them to have a number. They want them to be able to identify them. And eventually, I believe that they want to make it so that people will not buy or sell unless they have a mark, unless they have a chip, and unless they have a number. And it is indeed very frightening as we see this whole thing unfolding with tremendous speed. Now, science is advancing so rapidly, and what Byron is talking about, this idea of every gene actually produces proteins. That's what they do. And, of course, there's a switch on these genes, and you can actually, just like a light switch, you can turn it on, and it'll produce proteins. You can turn it off, it'll stop producing proteins. And they're learning how actually to control the very essence of life. And, you know, sometimes I think we're getting too much knowledge. Did you ever have that feeling?
Well, yes, and a lot of times we can affect things with inventions, but we really don't know what we're doing. So these drugs and medications, which can, in fact, get into cells and can affect proteins, and we can then see the changes in the proteins, well, that's all fine and dandy, but we actually don't know what these proteins are doing. So that's a huge problem. And so there's a tremendous amount of risk involved with this kind of drug research, and it is it's got tremendous potential to help people, but it also has tremendous potential to be harmful. It also has tremendous potential to be used as biological weapons, which is certainly a large concern, because we find...
Hold that stuff right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Byron Richards. We're talking about his book, Fight for Your Health. And if you have a question, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, I think this is such an important issue. I don't think that most people understand there really are people who are not concerned about our health, but they have to create this idea of new diseases so they can sell new drugs. And many of these new drugs that they're selling have terrible side effects. They do this with Vioxx and certainly the other drugs that they've come up with. Certainly they know that Ritalin has terrible side effects as far as children and their minds are concerned. Certainly they know that statin drugs, if you really read the statistics on that and study this very carefully, you find out that the vast majority of people, certainly half of the people who have heart attacks, don't have elevated cholesterol at all. And then, of course, they keep lowering the level of the cholesterol, telling us we've got to get it lower and lower and lower. Is that because there's evidence that this is going to make fewer heart attacks? No. It is because the only way they can sell more in the way of the statin drugs is to convince everybody, and specifically the doctors, that the patients are going to be better with a lower cholesterol. But, Byron, what are the complications of an extremely low cholesterol? Are there any?
Well, cholesterol is the backbone of life in the human body, and so we have a brainwashed society that thinks LDL cholesterol is bad. Most people don't have a clue why their bodies even have it in the first place. LDL cholesterol is a transport vehicle. It's how you get your fat-soluble nutrition from your liver all to all the cells in your body. And if you didn't have any, you wouldn't have any energy. You wouldn't be able to function. And so, you know, the whole idea of driving LDL cholesterol to lower and lower and lower levels, there's a point that you're going to cross where the energy systems in the human body will be seriously compromised from this undertaking. And in my way of looking at the world as a nutritionist, Dr. Stan, I mean, energy is the core thing of energy is what it's all about. The better a person makes energy, has energy, sustains energy, the healthier and happier they're going to be and the longer they're going to live. So when we have a medication that targets energy systems as its primary function in a way that actually makes them worse, and that's actually being sold to the American public as something of value, I mean, that is really a misrepresentation of the facts.
And I don't think that the average person has any idea what's going on. Well, we've got Walter calling. Let's go to him. Walter, did you have a question at all?
Yeah, it's about infrared radiation and for in saunas and using light bulbs, possibly the red infrared bulbs, to produce the energy to have a sauna effect to remove toxins from the body and that. I wonder if he knows if that's effective or not.
Well, I think in general with sauna use and with infrared use, what you're trying to do is create enough heat so that the toxins that are in the oils will begin to come out. I think most people who go into saunas, you know, that are 160 degrees and they're just sweating, you know, they're mostly dumping water and so on. I think people get a lot better result with saunas when they're around 120 to 130, lower temperature in there longer. That enables the actual fat to start coming out that has the toxins in it. And I think that approach can be very helpful as part of a health program for detoxification.
Yes, can you imagine using the red infrared bulbs that they use, like, for brooder chicks and things like that being effective rather than...
Well, I don't have any experience with that. Do you?
Pardon me?
Do you have some experience with that?
No, I saw it on Dr. McCullough's website. He had some plans for using or constructing a unit with that and making an enclosure, and he claims it's quite effective, so...
Well, to me, the best way to get rid of toxins is to go for a walk or a jog and sweat.
I found out this week
that any activity at all, especially 2 hours a day of physical activity, doesn't even need to be exercise, just physical activity, for people over the age of 70 will lower their risk of dying by 69%, which is a statistic far better than any medication can offer.
Okay.
All right, fine. Anything else, Walter, you wanted to ask?
No, I think that's it.
All right,
thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. And that was Walter calling from Minnesota. And so our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. Our guest is, of course, Mr. Byron Richards, his book, Fight for Your Health. And when we get back, when we get all of our stations back, where we're going to let you know how to get in touch with Byron and get his book and get the other material he has. And certainly you're doing quite a bit of radio at the present time, Byron.
Absolutely. I'm on all over the country. There's just a tremendous amount of interest. I'm finding people really don't trust the FDA. Of course, that's backed up by some surveys where we find that 80% of Americans...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Byron Richards, and you were just saying 80% of the public really has some serious questions about what's going on?
Well, yes. We've had all of these scandals over the last couple of years with the drugs and the safety of them, and People are constantly questioning the use of the ADHD medications and the antipsychotic medications and the antidepressant medications, and there's more and more information that there's serious problems with these, and the American public doesn't understand why the FDA doesn't act to take and protect them. And really, the book Fight for Your Health is all about why the FDA doesn't act to protect them, because the FDA is clearly working with pharmaceutical companies to protect their turf.
And, of course, we're really looking forward to getting your book and reading it. We had an opportunity to read Dr. Marcia Angel's book, going into it. She, of course, came from the New England Journal of Medicine. She was the editor there. She's on the staff at Harvard. And they went after her with, a tooth and fang. And they did everything they could to discredit her to the point where I could never even get her to come onto our radio programs. She was so viciously attacked by the drug companies for daring to tell the truth about this great scam that's costing billions of dollars. It wouldn't be so bad, except it's doing harm to our people.
Well, it's doing harm to our people, and it really is putting a tremendous financial drain on our country. The profits that are generated from this are amazing, and they're just going into the pockets of drug companies instead of into the benefits of the people of our country.
And I think one of the things that really bothers me is this Medicare drug program, which would appear to be sort of a transfer program, a transfer from the federal government to the drug companies.
Well, that's right, and we're seeing, of course, that this promotes more use of drugs. Already since this program has been in place, we've had a 5% increase use across the board of drugs, which, of course, that's profits for the drug companies. So we see that whenever drugs are being given out under some government program, there's incentives for the drug companies to promote them even more, and we end up using a lot more of them. And then the big question is, well, are they really doing anything? And the data isn't there to support this excessive use of medication in our society.
And, of course, one of the problems is, for instance, if you take a statin drug, while you may very well get congestive heart failure because you've suppressed the CoQ10 level, so then the doctor, not knowing, of course, that a drug he's giving you is toxic, is going to treat your congestive heart failure. And, of course, the medicine he gives you for that may very well produce other problems, and he's going to have to treat those. And it all originated because you were taking a statin drug you really didn't need in the first place. It lowers your energy level. It lowers your cholesterol. Cholesterol, as Byron said, is the very essence of life. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Mike calling for Denver. But before we get to Mike, and of course, again, I would comment our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But before we get to Mike, could you tell us how people can get in touch with you, get your book, get your website?
Absolutely. My website is truthinwellness.com. And there you can find the book. It's also available right now on Amazon.com. It's Fight for Your Health, Exposing the FDA's Betrayal of America. It will be in all the bookstores next month.
All right, fine. Well, as soon as I get my copy of the book and have a chance to read it, we'll get you scheduled for our other programs. We actually do four different audiences at 5 hours of talk radio a day. So let's right now go to Mike, who's calling us from Denver. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Well, I'm in limbo.
All right, fine. Well,
yeah, I talked to you once before about my shortwave radio, but I'm kind of in the same boat again, ready to go back to the hospital. But I just wanted to let people know about, this hidden world, that utilizes so many different ways to keep the truth from getting out. And these drugs, he said, was a narcotic, but it's, that might give people the wrong idea. It's not.
Which drug are you speaking of now?
He was talking about psychotropics.
About the ADHD medications being
really
narcotics.
Adderall. Go ahead, Mike.
Right. I think Adderall is one of the ones I'm talking about, but I know there's antidepressants, and then there's antipsychotics, and antipsychotics is the ones I know about, and they're the ones that are just so tortuous. I mean, they just make you writhe in to say anxiety is a total, you know, understatement. I mean, you're just so active, you know, restive, and you're just tapping against the wall, hitting the wall constantly, and just moving your body constantly, and you just, all you want to do is just close your eyes and hope that you fall asleep, because that's the only thing.
Well, you know, Mike, the Zyprexa, which of course is one of these antipsychotics,
exactly,
it was approved only by one trial in 1996 of 2,500 patients, and two-thirds of those 2,500 participants had so many adverse effects they dropped out of the trial. Yet this drug, which had cardiac abnormalities, hypertensions, Parkinson's-like motor impairment, anxiety, you know, and severe weight gain, including diabetes, this drug gets on the market, and now they're using it on children. It's just unthinkable.
I'm not talking about the long-term effects like tardive dyskinesia, and I'm not talking about an actual voluntary test subject. I'm talking about somebody who's forced to be on drugs. And by court order here in Denver. And
well, I think that, of course, can get you into real trouble. Let's talk a little bit about Tavarin. Aren't there a lot of alternative treatments that really can help people as far as their mental problems are concerned that do not rely upon proprietary drugs, but on certainly on herbs and other forms of treatment?
I think nutritionally there are many ways that the nervous system can be built up, certainly. In my experience with this over the years, we use a lot of the B vitamins, calcium, magnesium, the fish oil, DHA is very good for this. And then there are what we call little higher end nutrients such as phosphatidylserine or acetyl L-carnitine. These are powerful nutrients that can help build and restore brain cells. Individuals have a lot of natural options. What really got me to writing the book Fight for Your Health is simply the fact that as a nutritionist, the FDA doesn't want me to tell anybody at all how nutrients can truly help the brain or the nervous system to overcome some significant health problems such as depression or anxiety or any kind of mood disorders or attention deficit issues. You can't tell people anymore how nutrition works to do this. And that is really a travesty because there are so many people out there that could be helped.
If we were just talking about psychiatric therapy, that would be a different thing. I'm talking about, I mean, that would be a small group of people. But you did remind me of the thought that I did have that I had forgotten, and that is that these drugs will make you forget about certain things that most people would consider paranoid. Okay?
Then Mike, the thing that you need to do really is get some information on proper nutrition, especially as far as the brain is concerned.
I have been following proper nutrition for the latter half of my life. I'm 44 years old,
right.
And that's not what I'm talking about. Well, Mike, how can I help you? Does the nutrition help me?
Well, how can I help you?
I just wanted to tell you that it's not merely a narcotic. I mean, you were talking about something else, I realize,
okay.
But these drugs are worse than any hell that you can imagine.
I'm sure they are, Mike, and I sympathize with you. And what they do is just change the whole physiology of the brain. But God bless you, and thanks for calling. Let's go to Dan, who's calling us from Houston, Texas. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Great, great. So I'll get your opinion on diabetes. Do you think diabetes is being used by the VA to murder veterans? Because I think it is.
It's being done what?
He asked if you thought that diabetes was being used to murder veterans, I suppose, the Veterans Administration is not treating diabetes properly and diabetics are having real problems, how would you respond to Dan?
Well, I think the whole issue of how to eat, what to eat, are huge problems. I've written another book that's been very popular. It's called Mastering Leptin, where I talk about the hormone leptin and how it controls blood sugar, metabolism, body weight, hormones. And this is a very important subject. Our society is getting into diabetic situations for a variety of reasons. A lot of it has to do with our food supply being in such horrendous adulterated condition that the FDA puts up with. A lot of it has to do with poisons in our water, specifically the perchlorate that comes from rocket fuel ignitions, which is now pervasive in America, and the fluoride, which are anti-thyroid compounds that basically make people fat and then consequently make people diabetic. We have a lot of issues that are basically building a sickness industry for the pharmaceutical companies to dispense drugs for, with no real attention to getting people well.
And you know, don't forget the aspartame that they put in everything, which creates the diabetes, and then, of course, leads to the creates the obesity that leads to the diabetes. So aspartame works just like the fluoride does.
Well, and the high fructose corn syrup.
I mean,
that's another thing. And then we have all these junk food fat things. I mean, I don't know why people don't pay attention to the fact that when a scientist wants a diabetic rat, he feeds them tons of saturated fat and high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
And that's how you make one, so you can study it. But we do that to ourselves all the time with our soda drinks and our diet.
And, of course, the thing is, you'd be better off with your butter than you would be with the fats that you've been told.
In moderation, that's right. Absolutely correct.
Anything else, Dan?
Yeah, what did you recommend for the cure for diabetes besides eating?
Well, I recommend a dietary strategy where people eat three meals a day, don't snack at all between meals, and don't eat anything after dinner, which is quite contrary to the idea of eating five or six meals a day. And the reason for this is because every time you eat a meal, you raise your insulin, and then you throw out this hormone leptin, which causes your body to become metabolically numb and induces a low thyroid problem. So we really need to go back to increased exercise and just three square meals a day. The majority of people who follow that advice will find that their metabolism starts to improve again.
And, of course, so much as you need to be exercising, Dan. And, of course, Byron, I would be very interested in getting a copy of that book that you have on this. I've never really heard of this substance before. Is this a hormone that's produced by the pancreas?
No, the hormone actually is produced by fat. So it's produced in the body fat. It travels up to the brain, where it will enter the brain and give the brain a metabolic go signal. Now, the problem in people who are overweight is, oddly enough, they make way too much of the hormone, and then it goes up into their brain but can't get in. So we call that leptin resistance. It's kind of like insulin resistance, but it winds up causing people to have very slow metabolism. They, you know, their body just won't respond to eating, and the lower, you know, as soon as they go on a diet, they either fail at the diet or they, you know, gain weight right back again. This is all because of this hormone leptin.
And so how do you counteract that?
Well, with diet and exercise, you have to get back into a good rhythm with it, which is the three meals a day. I give what I call the five rules in my Mastering Leptin book, which explains this in really great detail and why this is so critically important. I brought it up in response to the listeners, or the caller's question, simply because it really is, mastering leptin and controlling this hormone is the key to resolving diabetes.
All right, I hope that answers your question, Dan.
Would take lecithin pills, would that help possibly any medication?
Lecithin may be good for the liver in helping. I use fatty acids such as fish oil to help with this situation. That's very good. There's a lot of nutrients that can help leptin function better. I give all of these on my website, which is actually wellnessresources.com. I have a tremendous amount of information about leptin and metabolism on that website.
Dan, why don't you go to that website, get the information, and see what you think of it, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, what do you think of the American Diabetes Association?
You know, the whole thing with these groups that are involved with diseases is that they are part and parcel of the big pharma industry. And the big pharma industry pays these groups to promote what they tell them to do. So you end up with people that will go on to medications, not actually correct the problems that they should be fixing. And this, of course, is the ideal situation for big pharma because they don't expect that anybody will ever improve once they're labeled with diabetes. They see that as a customer for life. They don't have strategies that are going to get people well.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks very much. Let's go to Teresa calling us from Yuma, Arizona. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I'd like to get your comments on two things. One, you mentioned earlier you were talking about VeriChips and the various nanochips that they're going to be putting into people. I know they're trying to sell people on the idea in mainstream media by getting all the positive sides of it, but would you say something? Tell us something about psychotronics and the V-chips.
Well, there's a whole lot of research being done on mind control with these, and there are actually chips being installed in the brain, which are in research phase right now, primarily, to help people with neurologic problems, but they're also doing a lot of research with animals. They're able to control animal behavior at a distance with these chips being installed in the brain. This is a little different than the patient identification chips, which is called the Vera chip. But there is a lot of research going on now with these chip insertions, and you know, our government, unfortunately, has been bent on mind control strategies, and I really think, you know, not only with these chips, but with this widespread use of psychotropic medication, it's part of a medical system. Whenever you see a medical system focusing intensely on the mind instead of on the health, this goes back to the Nazis and Nazi Germany, and this whole the Kaiser Wilhelm Psychiatry Institutes that were founded by the Rockefellers and still funded and still dominant today. This is what's behind all this widespread use of these drugs. It's about mind control. The government wants to control people's thought process because they want people to behave the way they want them to behave, which is basically work really hard, pay taxes, and stay broke.
And, of course, never question anything. Trust
me. My other question was, and it was, I'd like just a clarification. When you were talking about sweating out toxins, and that's one method, with VOCs, most volatile organic compounds in a lot of these toxins are fat-soluble. And in women, the treatment is very different, and it's much more difficult for women to sweat out because we're 70% more fat cells than men. And so it's much more difficult for a woman to sweat out those toxins.
Well, that's possibly true. Again, lower temperature saunas are more successful if you're trying to do that. One thing that becomes very helpful for women is to put the good clean oils in higher amounts. So a lot of times for women, they'll have to take 5 to 7 grams of fish oil a day in order to have something that will exchange out with the toxic oils. And then, of course, to get rid of the toxic oil, you have to have the proper detoxification systems. The digestive tract has to work properly. The liver has to be able to get rid of the chemicals because
right.
as
so
the body
starts to
break down fat, it releases the toxins into the bloodstream.
Yeah, it's a little more, the liver gets more of a workout when the woman's trying to detoxify.
Right, and Chris, there's certain things that you can take that'll help.
Well, the herb psilomarin is, of course, fantastic, and just on a simple basis, extra dietary fiber in the form of psyllium or something like that can be very, very helpful to just help to absorb toxins. The herb chlorella is a very good detoxifying herb that will absorb a lot of chemicals. So there are strategies people can combine with a good diet and exercise.
Right, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. And, of course, for our listeners out there, I don't know how many of you have noticed the television ads. They keep running them over and over again. A man who talks like a woman. A woman who talks like a man. Then, of course, they're put forward by Citibank, which is, of course, a Rockefeller bank. And the whole theme is identity theft. What are you going to do to protect yourself from identity theft? And, of course, the answer, of course, obviously, although they don't tell you, it's going to be the insertion of a chip. Recently, we were told that somebody had just happened to take their computer home. They work for the FDA, for the Veterans Administration, and somebody stole the computer. And 27 million names on that computer with all the Social Security numbers, all the details about 27 million veterans. So, you know, the idea of identity theft.
Well, they're always looking for an excuse to take away our freedoms.
Now, sure they are. And, of course, basically, you know, then, of course, I get a letter, my son gets a letter from the Veterans Administration saying, somebody has stolen your identity. Now, why would they bother to send 27 million letters out telling us that somebody may have stolen our identity theft because of this thing? Now, was anybody fired because of it? No. Was any action taken for criminal activity for this fellow who took his computer home and somebody stole it? And then suddenly the computer's recovered again. They're playing games with our mind, ladies and gentlemen. This is all to condition us to the fact that the obvious solution to identity theft, if we only had a chip, like an animal, you know, that we can identify the animals, we can identify the people, they won't be able to be kidnapped, we put them into children and we won't get the wrong child from the nursery. They've got all the explanations, but none of them are real explanation. That is, they want chips because they want to control each and every one of us. They want to know where we are, what we're buying, what we're doing, what we're thinking. they were moving towards a totally controlled society. Would you agree or disagree with that, Byron?
Well, Dr. Stan, we are the last hope for this planet. The people of America truly are the last hope. And the powers that are trying to undo the United States Constitution see the opportunity, and the only way to do this is to create these globalization agreements. So the FDA and the Bush administration right now are focusing on something they call the Security and Prosperity Partnership, which sounds harmless, but it's actually an agreement to combine Mexico, the United States, and Canada into one government. And this thing is really going on right now. We have the FDA and the administration negotiating away our United States Constitution behind our back, and the American public has no clue that this is going on right this minute. This is a huge issue, Dr. Stan, that we've got to take action on right now.
And I agree with you totally, and we're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest this evening to wrap up tonight's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is the evening, Byron Richards, and a fascinating program, Byron. Would you like to get your telephone number and your webpage out one more time?
The phone number for my business, which is Wellness Resources, is 800-717-9355. We'd be happy to send any listeners information on anything I've been talking about this evening. Our website is wellnessresources.com, also truthandwellness.com, which is our informational health freedom site where we post a lot of data on what's going on and what you can do to take action.
And I think that all of this is so vitally important. We're going to have to take control of our own health. You can't depend on somebody else to look after your health for you. And being a physician, I will tell you that all the time I practice medicine, the last thing in my mind for most issues was nutrition, because we were never trained in nutrition. In fact, we used to think people who took a lot of vitamins, drank a lot of carrot juice, they were sort of the loony-toonies, but, you know, as time goes by, I suddenly realized that maybe they were a lot smarter than I was. And I don't say this to deprecate doctors, they're good people, but they really don't know, and you can't depend upon them, at least as far as nutrition, to be able to approach this. The idea of taking your omega-3 fats, so vitally important. The idea of taking large doses of vitamin C and vitamin D and vitamin E and selenium and zinc and so many of these things. And there's so many of the other things that Byron has mentioned tonight that really can be helpful. And really, I congratulate you for what you're doing. And what sort of response you're getting from the listening audiences across America, Byron?
Well, in terms of this Fight for Your Health movement, there are so many people who want to stand up and do something effective to defend America. And it is, we are just getting tremendous response. I have a new print, and my first printing of the book already sold out. I have a new printing coming out that has six forwards in it from freedom fighters, from medical doctors, from attorneys that are representing, there's so much support for this. The American public is ready. They're just wondering what they can do. It's clearly laid out in Fight for Your Health. And it is a book that I just would really encourage everybody to read. I myself am going out on a limb telling people about this, but I find as a practitioner, I just can't take this anymore because the FDA and the vested interests who have billions of dollars at their disposal are just seeking to keep people sick and keep them from knowing the truth about how to be healthy and what they can do to take charge of their health. That's my passion and reason for exposing this fraud that the American public is now suffering.
And I think it sounds so ridiculous, and yet, it, ladies and gentlemen, it really is true. You've got to get to the truth. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
It's been a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the program this evening. We may even later on want to carry this book ourselves. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, and we will not carry a book till I've read it, but we do carry Dr. Marcia Angel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies. We do carry, of course, the book, The Miracle of Magnesium. We have a health catalog, and we actually carry many of the products that you need to be taking to ensure your health. There's so many things that can be done out there. There are natural antibiotics. You need to be on magnesium. Most people are deficient in magnesium, and it can affect literally every aspect of your health. So if you'd like to get our health catalog, Why, we'd be glad to send you one free of charge. Of course, we do hope that maybe you'll consider getting your health products through us. We're carrying most of the things that we take and that we think that you need. And those that we don't carry, we have several of them that we take ourselves. We tell you where you can get them from other sources. And then, of course, we carry the wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, by our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock. We have our four-tape set of interviews with Dr. Blaylock called Life-Saving Secrets, a four-tape set of interviews with Bill Sardi on going into the background of ascorbic acid and vitamin C, a four-tape set on magnesium, a four-tape set on statin drugs, and really what a scam this whole thing is. We have, of course, our book on the statin drugs written by Brian Ellison, which we recommend to you. And we've got, I think, an excellent overall selection of books on water fluoridation and how they're poisoning our children, on aspartame and how they're poisoning our children, on mercury and how they're poisoning our children, and the books and the four tape sets and the videos. You need to have this information. You need to help us get this truth out. And as they said during the last hour, the water fluoridation issue is a winning issue. Why? Because if we can once convince the people that they have been poisoned, that there is an intentional effort to poison them and to poison their children. And the evidence is there. All you need to do is go to the website put up by the union that represents the scientists and the engineers and the lawyers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency. That's NTEU280.org. That's www.NTEU280.org. For the National Treasury Employees Union, 280.org. Pull down the information. You can get it from us. And if you actually buy one of the products that we've been talking about this evening, some of the book sets or tape sets, and you ask for a free copy of that website, we'll send you everything on the website. You need to copy it. You need to get it to your doctor and say, why are you poisoning us? Is it possible you're being lied to by the AMA? At least check the facts out, doctor. Is it possible that much of what you have read is not true? Because if it is true that you are poisoning people, don't you think you owe your patients an apology? Don't you think you need to change your position? At least be honest enough to read the information. I will tell you, you read that website, you'll never look at fluoride the same way again. And, of course, we have so many great books. I mean, certainly the fluoride deception. Certainly our syllabus is the scientific articles right out of the scientific journals about the dangers of fluoride as far as the bone, as far as fertility, as far as sperm motility, as far as intelligence is concerned, the attack on the heart, the attack on every endocrine system by the fluoride they're putting in our water to poison us. Why would anybody do that? Well, because there are too many people in the world, ladies and gentlemen, and there really are people who are using water fluoridation for fertility control, because it attacks the sperm. And if it'll attack the sperm, it attacks every organ in your body. Again, that is the four-tape set on the hidden agenda. The syllabus that goes with that, absolutely necessary. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. We do hope that many of you will join the Radio Liberty family, or if you can possibly support us, we'll certainly appreciate that. Certainly call us at 1-800-544-8927. And join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Please pray for Radio Liberty.